Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hello, and welcome back to Autism and Scouting Radio. My name is John Krecha. I'm the Vice President of Operations for Autism Empowerment and the Program Director for the Autism and Scouting Program. Today's air date is Wednesday, February 6th, if you're listening live. Welcome to our show. We're happy to have you, and we always look forward to your feedback. The Autism Scouting Radio is part of the Autism Scouting Program. The Autism Scouting Program is a core program that's brought to you by Autism Empowerment. To get more information both about Autism Empowerment and the Autism and Scouting Program, after the broadcast, please visit us at www.autismempowerment.org, where you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Pinterest, and a whole bunch of other multimedia outlets or social media outlets. I'd like to thank my last guest, Karen Krecha, the Executive Director of Autism Empowerment. On the last show with Karen, we talked about the leadership training kits and the conference that's coming up in the fall of 2013. And we talked about the vision, kind of the outline of the time frame when the kits will be available. So if you haven't had a chance to go listen to that show, it's been a pretty popular show, definitely encourage you to do that. Here at Autism and Scouting Radio, we like to showcase a lot of different things. We have original content that we do where we talk about different topics that relate back to scouting. And we have authors and non-scouting folks on air to talk about subjects that are related to both autism and scouting, obviously, or how it can be transferred to a scouting setting. We also have people, but the most important portion is having scouts who are on the autism spectrum come on the show, talk about their journey. We showcase them. We highlight them. We give them a chance to shine. It's just kind of a fun time, and we always love those shows. We also have scout leaders from around the nation talking about their leadership programs, different things that they're doing, their journeys in scouting. And so we definitely look forward to all of those different types of variety of shows. And we welcome everyone, and hopefully you come back and listen to all of the different shows. So today, raising a child can have its ups and downs, no matter if it's a child who's neurotypical or not. But then when you add an autism or a special need to that, kind of adds a second layer to the whole equation. When you have two children, such as we do, that are on the autism spectrum, the challenges kind of get kind of magnified twice, if you would. So when you have seven great kids who are all have different needs, they're all on the spectrum, and they've all been in scouting at some point. That kind of, to me, gives a special badge of superpowers. And we have such a person today. Today we're joined by Linda Horvath. Sorry if I got that wrong. I think I got it right. She's out of New Jersey. She has seven kids. They're all on the autism spectrum. And that includes two sets of twins, a set of twin boys and a set of twin girls. All of her kids have been in scouting at one point in time. Currently, there's six of them active in scouts. She's a scout leader in three different units, including the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts. She's also on our advisory committee in the development of our training kits that we're going to be coming out, hopefully shipping sometime in early September. She has a lot of passion. She's offered her services to the Girl Scouts to help start special needs scouting in her area. So without any further ado, let's bring Linda on and let's talk to her. Welcome, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem. I'm very happy to be talking to you guys.
So we entitled the program "A Mom with Superpowers," and I tell you, I'm pretty amazed. When we talked about your kids and whatnot, can you talk a little bit about kids, your scouts that you have, and a little bit about their stories?
Yes. I have 5 sons and 2 daughters. My oldest boy, Joseph, is a Star Scout with Troop 454. My second son had achieved the rank of life. He's taking a break from scouting right now. My third son, Ben, is in a special needs troop, Troop 454. He's first class. My twin boys are Quentin and Augustus. They're second class scouts with Troop 300. And my daughters, Bethany and Emily, are Daisy Scouts. They're second year, Troop 432.
And where do they fall on the autism spectrum?
My oldest is Asperger's, but he also has like learning disabilities. my second boy is Asperger's. My third son is high functioning autism with learning disabilities. My third son is Asperger's. The fourth son has high-functioning autism. My first daughter has Asperger's, and the second daughter also has Asperger's.
So wide range on the spectrum, just as you probably are aware. Everyone's different, so I'm sure your kids are just as different as they can be, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, even though they're – you know, there's varying degrees of Asperger's too. So I'm sure that people that are aware of autism and have children with autism know that just because you have Asperger's, there are even different degrees within the Asperger's. So some are in the higher functioning of the Asperger's, and some actually have severe learning disabilities within. So, you know, they're different levels even within the Asperger's. So, you know, there are different struggles within that. You know, I'm on the spectrum myself and deal with, like, anxiety issues and stuff. So, you know, that's why, of course, we know they call it a spectrum.
Absolutely. The same thing in our family, you know, with my wife has Asperger's, and my oldest has Asperger's, and my youngest has autism, and the sensory issues, sometimes they all compete at the same time.
Well, the sensory issues, we have major problems with the sensory issues, because one person will be having, you know, will have a problem with socks. One person doesn't have a problem with socks, but will have a problem with shirts. One person will have a problem with, I can't take out the garbage because it's sticky. The other person doesn't have that problem, but has a problem with, I can't touch this because, you know, it's slimy. Well, sticky and slimy are different, but somebody will look at me and they'll be like, just tell them to take out the garbage. And I'm like, you don't get it. You know, they think that your kid's rotten, nasty, horrible. You're a terrible parent because you don't know how to discipline. And it's like, no, you just don't get it.
Well, I think the vast majority of people listening here do get it.
Yeah. So,
yeah. It's hilarious because some meals, I do the cooking in the family because most of my family doesn't. They have smell issues. So the kitchen is not a very good place for smells. And a lot of times, a lot of meals, I'll have three or four different separate meals for the four of us.
Yeah. Yep. Or you have like within the same plate, you have four little plates. Because nothing can touch each other, you know. Like my husband used to laugh, you know, years and years ago, because when we went to Thanksgiving, I had my gravy plate, and he was like, "Your gravy plate?" I'm like, "Yeah, this can have gravy on this plate," you know. I didn't know I had autism back then. Whatever, but I just knew this was my gravy plate because I can have gravy on this plate.
That's hilarious.
Who would have known, right?
We our family has all of this. That's the only thing that we own are the separated plates.
Yeah. So, and even when I did work years ago, I used to work at the hospital. It was the best thing because they had those little tiny dishes in the cafeteria, and I used to walk across the parking lot, and I used to have all these little dishes, and my boss used to be like, "I can't believe you have all your food and all those little tiny dishes." Who knew back then that me having these six little tiny dishes, you know, I just like to have all my food separated. I have six little tiny dishes on my tray.
<That's>
I don't like everything running together.
Now, you're the leader in all three of your the six active scouts that you have.
Yes.
There's a special needs unit troop, a regular troop, and then you're the Daisy troop. And you're a leader
right.
in all three troops, correct?
Right, and I'm also a commissioner for a crew.
Oh,
for
wow.
a group of crew. Mm-hmm.
So it keeps you busy. How do you keep all of the different scouting activities separated and organized? Because I know having two, it's kind of crazy between Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts. How do you do it?
Definitely planning. You know, at the beginning of the year, we definitely plan out what's going to be done. You know, we said at the beginning of the year what's going to be done. And, you know, we look at the calendar and we say, okay, the first and the third Monday of the month, Girl Scouts. The, you know, every Tuesday is, Boy Scouts for the one troop. And the other troop has meetings every Tuesday at 2, except for the third Tuesday. My husband takes the boys on the special needs boys on the one night. I'll go on one night too. We take turns with the special needs troop because unfortunately both meet at the same time. I go to summer camp though. He doesn't do the summer camp, and then on the third Tuesday of the month, I always go to the special needs. On the last Tuesday of the month, I always go to the special needs troop because the other boys have a PLC meeting, so they don't have a rank in the troop, so they don't need somebody to go with them. And it's like, yeah, it's a lot of planning. It's a lot of planning. So, yeah, you just have to have it all planned out. And then, you know, if it has to be on the calendar or it doesn't happen, and that's the tough part about it, you know. It definitely has to be planned out.
That's awesome. I totally find that as well, where the planning is so critical, knowing, you know, even with all of the things going on here with autism empowerment and the different radio shows that we have, just to keep everything in track, it's a lot of moving parts. So that's really good advice.
Definitely.
I have a question about, actually you brought up a question when you said going to summer camp, because my wife, again, has Asperger's, and she was a Girl Scout, and she has a lot of different sensory issues. How does camping work with your scouts?
Okay. Well, fortunately, with the special needs troop, we have enough tents that each boy gets their own tent. So that works out pretty good. And my two sons, we've always gone camping from the time I was pregnant. So they've always been in the woods. So fortunately, that helped out. Most of my kids have always run around barefoot because they hate shoes. With the exception of my older boy, Joseph, he does not like to get wet. He doesn't like, he has a lot of like sensory issues with water, mud, this and that. So he'd rather keep his shoes on. So most of the time he won't get wet. And then if it's raining or something, he won't go out. So that's where it turns into an issue of it starts raining when we're camping, he won't go out. So, you know, then I have to bring an umbrella, even a poncho. If he's going to get wet, I have to bring a double poncho and put it on because you got to put the poncho over him. And then when you take the poncho off, because you can't have the poncho even be wet, you got to hang that poncho over something because he can't even have a wet poncho on. You have to have, he can't be wet at all. Can't have his hair wet, nothing, because he starts like freaking out. We had a period of time where he was not even wanting to take showers and stuff because he so was aversive to water. So yeah, there can be a big problem with the sensory issues, but you know, between therapy and stuff like that, we had worked on that with him. But you know, we worked on that with him. But he loves fishing, but he doesn't like to take the fish off the hook because it's biting me. So, like, you know, we would go fishing with him, and then we figured out, okay, if you put it in a plastic bag and then take the hook off or ask somebody to do it for you, or he steps on it and then pulls the hook off and then kicks the fish, then he doesn't have to touch it. And if he does it quick enough, the fish still lives. And he doesn't have to worry about it. You know, so he was learning how to, you know, be able to accommodate himself with certain things and overcome some of his, they're not fears, but like tactile issues and stuff. And plus at school, too, we had got him some OT to try to help with the desensitization. So it's important that not to just avoid these things, because a lot of people just avoid them. You can't just avoid them. You have to try to desensitize to them, because unfortunately, if you just keep avoiding them, it gets worse. So as they get older, you know, so, you know, trying to desensitize them. Now he actually takes a shower every day. He still hates it, but he does it. And that was a big, big, big problem. But at least now he is taking a shower. You know, and for him that's a big deal. And you know, that's a plus for everyone around him too. So you know,
that's one of those things. The hygiene issue is like pretty big.
Yes.
Kids on the spectrum, and you know, so that I totally understand where you're coming from there, because we've dealt with that with our as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not to embarrass my oldest.
No, yeah, no, it, and it is. It is.
Yeah.
It is, yeah, and then like other things with camp, like food. Yes, okay. Food issue is. We don't do central dining. What we do with the special needs troop, yes, we do central dining. Okay, so with the special needs troop, what we did is, if there was a problem, we would go ahead of time and say, okay, this child has this need. What can we do? Okay, so you talk to them ahead of time, and you set something up. Don't go in there and, you know, when it's time to eat and say, oh, my kid can't have this, because what's the cook going to do? Okay, but if you go in ahead of time, or if you even call before you go to the camp and say, these kids have this problem, what can we do? Not problem, but like food allergy or texture problem, or, you know, if you know your child is not going to eat macaroni and cheese, your child is only going to eat plain macaroni, well, they're going to have plain macaroni because they got to make macaroni and cheese. So
right.
It's not going to be a big deal if they just leave off the cheese, you know. But if there's something really, really a big deal, then they need to know ahead of time that they have to make this. So there's different ways around it, you know.
In our family, it's not the right macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, that's definitely something. Now, that is definitely something. And if it's something like that, then you might want to go with cooking your own. That's what you might have to do. Like, that's what we do with the other troop. We don't do central dining. We cook our own. And that's actually good for the kids because then they earn merit badges. And they actually learn to do it for themselves. It might take them longer, and that's where we have the boy-led troop. So instead of, you know, because the boys are in a typical troop doesn't mean that there aren't boys with special needs, because we have plenty of boys with special needs in a typical troop. So
and a lot of them may not even realize their needs, too.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, it's taken them a little bit longer to do things, but you know what? They're learning how to do it themselves. So,
well,
especially
and,
you know,
with the boys,
a little bit of guidance.
I was going to say, that's great because, especially for the Boy Scouts, because, you know, coming up in 2014 with the change with Eagle requirements.
Right, yeah, because they're adding the cooking, they're adding the sustainability. You know, that's really good. I think that's an excellent thing that they're adding cooking and the sustainability, to tell you the truth. Cooking should have been a required merit, but, I mean, it is a required merit badge, but, I mean, I'm sorry, it should have been, like, always a required merit badge, honestly, I think. And it's something that every single Boy Scout should know. Everyone should know how to cook. So.
Well, it's a great skill for life.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So, but, you know, all the kids in our troop, from the time they're 10 years old, learn how to cook. So no matter what their ability is, even if it's just, you know, learning how to wash the potatoes, you know what? That's cooking. That's beginning steps, just like when you're learning how to read. You know, people are like, they're not reading, they're just looking at the pictures. Well, that's the first step in reading, you know. That's the foundation. If you don't have the foundation, then you're never going to build a house. So, you know, that's the way I look at it.
No, that's absolutely, that's wonderful, because you build on those steps. I mean, just,
right.
Especially, I mean, with our kids that tend to be more visual too and that need additional steps, it's actually good to have them have those additional steps.
Right. And my personal children, we very rarely go to a hotel. Rarely, rarely, rarely. It's too much for them with their sensory issues. When we go on vacation, we go camping. I don't care what they do. They are the best behaved kids because they have some freedom. I don't care that they have to wear socks and shoes when we go to scout camp because it's the rule.
Right.
But when they didn't understand that the first week we were at scout camp, my boys, they were like, what do you mean we have to wear socks and shoes? I'm like, it's the rule of scout camp. And I kept telling them this before we went, because when we go camping, I'm like, I don't care, you could go barefoot. It's fine because it's just, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's natural. It's whatever. So when we would go camping, no socks, no shoes, except for Joseph, because I told you about Joseph. He has to have it. So they would go frogging. They would, you know, they would do everything. I don't care. They would do whatever. They were so good. They would stack wood. They would just behave. When I told them that they had to stay together, they would stay together. Never had a problem. Well, I can't say I never had a problem. I had less of a problem with them misbehaving whenever we were camping, because there's no real expectation of anything. There's no, like, people saying, like, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to, you know, you have to, like, fit into any kind of, like, conformities of, like, the real world, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just fun. It's just, okay, let's catch a frog, let's catch a fish, let's see this, let's see that, and it's just fun. So they're used to camping. That's why I think they love scouting, you know, and
that's great.
You know, that's
a great segue, because that's going to be my next question was,
mm-hmm.
there's so many different activities out there. I mean, there's sporting events, there's obviously scouting, and there's just, karate, you name it, there's probably an activity for it.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you personally kind of lean towards the scouting world for your boys and girls,
well,
too?
Well, and my girls, honestly,
absolutely.
For me, when I was younger, I did scouting because, like, I also did not fit in to many things at all. I was, like, the biggest klutz in the world. I tried track. I tried to do basketball once. That was so funny. I couldn't do anything. I tried to do, whatever. Couldn't do anything. Scouting, though, the scout leader, always, no matter what I did, took me under her wing, saw that I always did my best. Every week I showed up, every week she was there too. No matter what, she was there. The other kids that were there, everyone just seemed to get along. And then plus, like, everything that is in the law and the oath for both the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts kind of goes along with my morals and my beliefs. And I'm Catholic. I was raised Catholic, and it's pretty much the way I live my life. So it kind of just fits in with how I live my life and what I believe in. So that's kind of like, it just goes with the flow of my life. So that's kind of why I go with the whole scouting thing.
No, that's great.
You
kind of go with what you know, almost, in some
ways. I mean, duty to God, duty to my country. You know what? Yeah, I'm an American. I believe that you stand up for your country. You stand up for God. That's,
mm-hmm.
What else is there between your God and your country and your family?
And then your family, absolutely.
So, trustworthy, loyal, healthy. Helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. I mean, that's what we hope for. They're not always, but that's what we're hoping for. And same thing with the Girl Scouts, to serve God and my country, help people at all times, and live by the law. I mean, and not for nothing. I am very law and
rules-oriented.
and very rule-oriented to the point where, I get in trouble a lot from other people because I am, so rule-oriented. even adults and stuff, they're like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, this is a rule. Why do you think we have rules?
I laugh because I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
my wife and both of my kids are exactly like that. It's like,
yeah.
Dad, you're speeding. It's like,
And it's difficult for me because honestly, I really don't have a lot of friends, and it's hard because I understand other people with Asperger's and autism and stuff because it's not always an easy life. But you know what? I don't care because I don't care. At least I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and I don't know if you can say this or not, but I'm not going to hell, so there you go.
What is the biggest difference between the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts as far as both the programs and also how they work with children with special needs.
Well, or, basically, the Boy Scouts are a lot more fun. So.
Okay.
I'm a tomboy. I like to go, and maybe because my girls are still young, I haven't like experienced the like. And I grew up in Jersey City, so my Girl Scout experience was indoors, all indoor stuff, all crafts and all
sewing and like, cooking and.
Yeah, with all of that. So I know the Girl Scouts now do like high adventure stuff and everything, but I haven't seen it. So basically, I'm a Boy Scout.
That's why you're a commissioner for a venturing crew, right?
Yeah, I'm a Boy Scout at heart. I'm more of a Boy Scout. Because you can use a knife and you can go out cooking. And honestly, I don't really get along with girls. So I get along with boys.
I think you get along with my wife very well because, I hear exactly the same thing coming. I think two peas in the pod, if you would.
I tell it like it is. Most women don't like to hear that. So it's like
same with your husband too, probably sometimes.
I'm more of like I can get like dressed up and stuff but I don't, even if I go to like hang out with the girls, I'm like, I really don't want to hear about you just got your nails done. And I'm sitting here going, okay, let's see. I still am thinking about, Boy Scouting or like,
what's the next camping outing?
or science or like, I'm very into earth sciences and like energy efficiency and energy efficiency around the world and that kind of stuff, and they're not. I don't know about who's the latest person with music and like you were talking about with the about iPod and stuff like that. I don't have any of that stuff. I don't have any of that stuff. I do research and stuff, but it's all like, I will look it up on the internet and stuff, but I don't have any of that other stuff. I have 7 children. I don't have pocket change to get myself an iPad or this or that. If I had money for an iPad, I'd give it to my kids.
Very nice.
They could use it. My son, Ben, who has severe learning disabilities, this year in school, they finally got smart boards and an iPad, and he's doing so, so well in school, and I'm so proud of him. So, yeah, I'm very proud of him.
I got off
on a tangent.
No, that's great. No, I love it.
Okay, but since you only have a couple minutes, I didn't want to mention.
I told you this would go fast, right?
Yes. Well, here's something. It says, what kind of advice can you give to scout leaders when working with kids on the autism spectrum? So here's something that I really wanted to get to, okay?
Absolutely.
They need to have patience. They need to be aware of the kids' sensory issues and don't think that they're just being lazy and don't want to do things. If the child does so many things to you, like maybe they're willing to carry wood, chop wood, do this, and that, but they don't want to wash dishes, okay? Don't think the kid's lazy and doesn't want to wash dishes, okay? Maybe the kid can't wash dishes because they don't like to get their hands wet. Maybe they don't like the feeling of soap. So maybe instead of just asking them, like, why don't you want to do it? And a lot of our kids, they can't they can't articulate stuff. So the kid might just say, I don't want to, or I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe try to get it out of them a little bit more and say, like, well, you know what? I have some rubber gloves. Maybe you want to try it with rubber gloves or less water, or maybe give them a different job to do and see if try to talk to the parents, or maybe not let them get out of it this time and try to work on it another time in a smaller setting, not in front of the other kids. But
or have them dry the dishes rather than put their hands in the water.
Yes, something, you know, work something around it, but not embarrass them in front of the other kids, because the other kids will pick on them. Bullies, watch out for the bullies. And the bullies aren't just ones that push you. Watch the kids' mouths, you know, and watch what you say and how you say it, because things can be perceived differently by our kids than by other kids. Those are the biggest things when working on our kids with the spectrum. And then one other thing is, how do you think Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts can improve access to youth with autism or special needs? And then I put, go into special needs schools, contact the Department of Special Education of each state, and go into children's special hospitals. Those are the different places that we can contact to start up scouting units.
That's awesome. That's wonderful advice, because, I mean, basically getting to know the child and know the scout and for what their issues are, that's so key, we find a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what their sensory issue is and treat the sensory issue, because a lot of times the behavioral issue might be stem from the sensory issue.
Right. And do we have one more minute or no?
We have actually about 7 minutes, so go ahead.
Okay.
Just keep on going. You've been doing wonderful.
What kind of suggestions can you give parents who are not sure that their scouts will be good for them, and their son or daughter? The best advice I can give you is try it. Just try it. And if you had a bad experience with one unit, go to another one, because you know what? Just like if you bite a bad apple, are you never going to eat an apple again? Or are you going to get a different apple? You're doing a disservice to yourself and your child if you don't try scouting. And you know what? There is such a thing as an iGirl and a lone scout. So worst comes to worst, you can do it yourself. Do it yourself if you don't see something out there for your child. You can do it yourself. So don't forget, there's iGirls and lone scouts. So
now, are iGirls similar to the lone scout program?
iScout, yes. Yep.
Okay. For those of you that don't know, the lone scout program is a Boy Scouting program to work with individual scouts when there's not a unit directly available for them, and they
right.
can still go use the program. The scouting program and progress in scouting kind of individually. And
right.
I did not know about the iGirl program, and that's great news, because that's another part of my knowledge now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so what? Real quick, we still have a couple, little bit of time left. Give us a couple of good examples of some of the great things that you've seen some of your girls or your boys do that you're just
okay.
like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Okay, my son Gus, he when they had troop elections, I'm glad you asked me. When they had troop elections, he actually got up twice and asked to run for two things. Each time he got up, he cried halfway through, but he got up, and he didn't get voted in for each one of those things, but he got up and asked and he would never have done that. He would never have gotten up before and asked to be, you know, this is a small group. It's the typical group, and there's only 10 boys in the group. And you know those boys? They were like, it's okay, Gus. It's okay. You did a great job. You did a great job. And they were clapping for him. And if he wasn't comfortable, now this boy has been bullied and made fun of and teased, and he's the one that has high-functioning autism and learning disabilities, and he's been bullied and teased in school. But because he's been going to social skills groups and a lunch bunch groups, he was able to get up twice within the same hour and ask to be put into two different positions within the troop. Obviously, he's not ready for position in the troop, but he did get up and ask. So I was very proud that he was able to do that.
Is there any other, like for your girls, have you seen, what have you seen with your girls?
My daughter, Bethany, she is, she is too funny. She is she's very helpful with the other little girls in the group, and she likes to try to assist them even when they don't want to be assisted. And she tells them, don't worry about my sister when she throws a tantrum. Just ignore her. So she's trying to... she's trying to help out when her sister has a tantrum. So, you know, she's coming along though very well, and she's actually doing much better with socialization. So I'm very happy with that, that she's coming along better with her socialization. Yeah, she's too much. And my both of the boys were actually on the middle school wrestling team this past semester too. So I was happy with that. The twin boys. So yeah.
The twin boys. Just to let people know, the twin boys will actually be on our February 20th show. So Quentin and Augustus. We're coming out. They're both coming in together. So we're looking forward to it'll be the first time we've ever had two scouts on at the same time. So and the first time we've ever had twins on at the same time. So we're really looking forward to that. So
perfect.
And hopefully
perfect.
They're looking forward to that. I just want to thank you so much. That was just great advice that you gave about that you gave to the parents and both to the leaders. And we want to thank you for coming on, because you definitely are, in our book, a super scouting mom.
All that you do. I don't like to be referred to as super scouting mom. Just a scouting mom would be great.
Well, I think you're in the cape, so.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you asking me to be on the show. I enjoyed it.
Well, thank you so much, and I want to thank everyone out there for being on, for tuning in today. Thank you for tuning in to Autism and Scouting Radio.
You've been listening to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger's scouting communities. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism Empowerment Radio tab, or visit our Autism and Scouting page. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, everyone, and have a wonderful day.